Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Today I'll be speaking about the relationship between sweetened beverages and obesity, and specifically try to get at exactly how much have sweetened beverages contributed to the current high rates of obesity in this country. Let me see. I can't click. Okay, as we all know, we're in the midst of an obesity epidemic, and if we don't slow the rates of this epidemic down, it is anticipated that 1 in 2 Latino and African American children and 1 in 3 white children will develop diabetes sometime during their lifetime. We know that the increase in calories alone is enough to explain the increase in obesity rates. This shows the trends in the increase in calories per person per day in this country. And it exactly parallels the rise in obesity rates. This is food supply data, and it is estimated that the amount of calories available for consumption in the U.S. has increased by about 300 to 500 calories per day per person. But obesity is not merely a question of how many calories we consume, because what we eat influences how much we eat. So if we eat more of the foods that are on the left side of these pictures, we are more likely to overeat than if we consume the types of the foods on the right side of this picture. For that reason, we felt that it was important to look at what dietary factors do contribute to obesity. And as you can see, we examine many different types of dietary factors, both eating behaviors as well as nutrients and individual foods. And one item really rose above the crowd here, and that was sweetened beverages. It was the one that had the strongest evidence relating it to obesity. So when we looked at the evidence relating sweetened beverages to obesity, the first line of evidence we looked at was intake trends to see if the intake in sweetened beverages had risen over the same time period that obesity had risen. And we found indeed it did. And again, as you saw with that calorie slide, we find that sweetened beverage intake rose almost exactly at the same time as calories did and at the same time that obesity rates did. And as you can see here, it rose in almost every age group and it nearly tripled. And we do see the highest consumption among children and young adults. And it rose between 1977 and 2001. Those are the multicolored bars there, which is exactly when obesity rose the fastest. And we find that an amazing number of calories are consumed in the form of sweetened beverages. Children consume 10% of their calories from just one type of item, sweetened beverages. That's amazing considering the number of items. We consume much more than 10 items in one day. And adults, well, I think this is the younger adults, consume 12% of their calories from sweetened beverages alone. What's really disturbing, I think, is the amount, and I think we'll hear more about this later, is the sweetened beverages consumed by children. In one study, one third of 2 to 5 year olds had consumed a sweetened beverage on the day prior. And more than half of children, 2 to 5 year olds, had consumed a sweetened beverage at least one of the last 2 days. And as we all know, so what has accounted for this increase in sweetened beverage intake? Why are we consuming more than we did before? Well, one, of course, is portion sizes. And we've seen portion sizes dramatically increase, and along with it, the calories that consumed with each of those portions. And those of us that can remember back to the 50s, the standard portion size was 6.5 fluid ounces. Now 20 ounces is considered a small. And the difference in calories is remarkable, from 88 calories to 250 just for the small beverage. Also, the variety of sweetened beverages has increased. We're no longer just talking about sodas. There's a plethora of different types of sweetened beverages. And this is an old slide. Now we've got tons more. We have the energy drinks. They're all disguised. There's all different types. And we know that the more variety of a food, the more of it that will be consumed. And then there's, of course, the marketing has contributed to increased consumption. And we've seen huge increases, a doubling in marketing expenditures on sweetened beverage. This is just on soft drinks, actually, from 1986 to 2000. Okay, so that's fine. We've got some parallel trends going on here. But of course, as good public health epidemiology people, we know that that's not causation. So is there a biological explanation of why people would consume more total calories and gain weight when they consume sweetened beverages? And indeed, there is. What we found, Mattis here, who did a meta-analysis of 40 different studies, found that when you eat a sugar in solid form, you compensate 64%. That means that you only reduce your intake by 64%, so 36% are extra calories. But when you consume sugar in liquid form, you only compensate by 9%, so 91% of those calories are extra added on to your usual intake. So what this is saying is that we're not compensating in terms of appetite. Our system just doesn't recognize those liquid calories. They just go pretty much most of them on top of everything else we're consuming. And there could be a lot of reasons behind this. So they're also including the insulin response to liquid sugar, and there's a number of theories about why this happens. In some studies, I'll just mention, in some studies, as much as 50%, and this figure will come up again, as much as 50% might be compensated for, but still, we've got 50% additional calories in that case. We also find that there are many, many really well-conducted studies, observational studies, showing a correlation between calorie intake and soda or sweetened beverage intake. And this is an example of just one of those studies where we see a very clear dose response. The more soda that is consumed, the higher the calorie intake of the individual. So now we have these parallel trends. We have a biological explanation of why it could be contributing to obesity. Do we actually see a correlation, not just with calories, but a correlation with weight? And for that, we looked at studies, both longitudinal, cross-sectional, and nationally representative studies that looked at the relationship between sweetened beverage intake and overweight. And we found that there were over 50 studies that we examined. And the majority of these studies, 71 to 80% of the highest quality studies, did find a positive and significant correlation between overweight and sweetened beverage intake or some measure of adiposity. This just shows an example of those. And I think what's important to point out here is that the longitudinal studies in particular found this association. And we know that those studies are the most important, are the highest quality. The Women's Health Study found that sweetened beverages not only were associated with weight gained, but also with development of type 2 diabetes. And the Planet Health Study found that for each additional serving of sweetened beverage consumed over just a year and a half, the risk of overweight among children increased by 60%. So that's a pretty remarkable statistic. All right, so now we've got the associations, we've got the mechanism, and we have the trends, but we all know that everyone wants to see randomized controlled trials, right? So our gold standard are intervention trials. So this was important to look at, and we didn't have this data at first, but there's been some really good trials that have come out. And we looked at nine different trials. Four of those were randomized controlled trials, and three were additional studies that were not randomized controlled trials of the ones that found a positive association. And these trials were both studies that looked at if you reduce sweetened beverage consumption, does your weight lower or lower in comparison to control? But we also looked at studies where people were asked to consume sweetened beverages and see if they gained weight. In other words, would they compensate or not, or would it just get added on? Seven of the nine did have statistically significant positive results relating to an increase in weight or a decrease in weight depending what they did with the beverages. And they found that reducing sweetened beverages led to decreased adiposity, and increasing sweetened beverage led to weight gain of up to 3.5 pounds in a week. So if they took in enough, it was a dramatic increase. So that's really our gold standard relating sweetened beverages, and one of the few food items that we found all four lines of evidence had strong evidence relating soda intake to adiposity. And here just shows a couple more of those trials. One was in Britain, and this study was a school-based education program, so this was education only. They did get a reduction in sweetened beverage intake of about a half a cup, whereas the control group increased, and we got just a slight reduction in overweight in the intervention group, but the control group went up 7.6%, so that was a very significant difference. And then even more remarkable is the study that was done, I believe, in Boston, where they actually delivered non-caloric beverages and did some education. And there, in just 25 weeks, they reduced sweetened beverage intake and got a decrease of 0.63 BMI units, which is a remarkably large decrease in BMI for that short time period. Okay, so can we conclude that there's a causal link between sweetened beverages and obesity? And we would say yes, because all those four lines of evidence establish that relationship. We looked at the 9 criteria that have been put in place for causation. All 9 were met by this data. And sweetened beverages really stand out as one single major contributor. It has a big impact on obesity, that beverage item alone, and could have a measurable impact on obesity. But we wanted to figure out how much could it really make a difference. So we did a very simple little analysis where we just took national intake data, and we looked at the amount of calories that increased between 1977 and 2001. That was about 278 calorie increase in intake. And then we looked at the increase in calories from sweetened beverages. That was over 100 calories. So as it turns out, the increase in sweetened beverage intake is equivalent to 43% of the total increase in calories over that time period. And then we, assuming that physical activity levels have not changed, which I think there's a pretty big consensus that over that time period there hasn't been either a dramatic increase or a dramatic decrease in physical activity. That happened much earlier. and assuming that not more than 50% of the increase in sweetened beverage intake was compensated for by a decrease in some other food or beverage, this would suggest that 22% of the weight gained, and therefore 22% of obesity during that time period, was due to sweetened beverages. So a very big impact for just one food group. So we can conclude that not all calories are equal, and you'll hear this from industry, not all calories are equal when it comes to obesity, and you'll hear this being said a lot. The same number of calories provided in different foods has a different impact on how full or satisfied we feel, and therefore how likely we are to continue eating. This shows that we have very few discretionary calories in our diet. So the average person is recommended to consume about 2,000 calories a day. And if you ate all the recommended food groups, all the healthy foods that you need to be healthy, you would have 267 calories left over for discretionary foods. This would be things like cookies and soft drinks and alcohol. But it also includes higher fat choices like full fat milk or higher fat meats or higher fat cheeses. So all of that together, you only have 267 calories for that. That's a pretty small amount. And then if we assume that your diet is 29% of calories from fat, which most people is actually more than that, but that's the recommendation, you would only have 105 calories total available to you for all the sugar you consume during the day, which is equivalent to less than 1 can of soda. So what this tells us is that when soda isn't causing weight gain, it's replacing other foods that you need to be healthy. And soda has absolutely no other nutritional benefit aside from calories that almost all Americans don't need extra at this point in time. Oop, going backwards. Now, some people will argue, okay, that's all well and good, but there are programs that need to sell these beverages for fundraising. People need them for jobs. The schools need them to fund their important programs. We've done a lot of work in the school, and this is just an example of one institution. We've done a lot of work in the schools, and this is what we found out were the profits that they were making on beverage vending machines per year. Now, is this worth endangering our students' health in order to get $375 or $373 per year from a beverage vending machine? Some get a little more, a little less. Compared to the overall school budget, this is a very small source of income. And of course, someone else, but the children are drinking a lot of them at school. Someone else is getting those profits, not the school. So what can we do? Well, the Institute of Medicine, the Centers for Disease Control, and several other reviews have found that one of the major influences on what we eat and drink is the price. I think those of us who were in the menu labeling one saw that, how price at Subway had such a big impact, is price and access. So what's available to us and how much we cost are two of the main drivers of what we consume. So what are some of the things that we could do to reduce sweetened beverage intake? And I think some of the other speakers might be addressing this. We can increase price with a tax, but it would have to be a tax that's large enough to influence behavior, and I think that's already been calculated out by some other researchers. We can also influence access by putting in nutrition standards like we did in the schools. We've gotten sodas out of schools in a lot of states. We have in California. And we have shown that that is effective in reducing intake, and there's no compensation afterwards. But we can also do local zoning. Those are both public institutions, and we can put those nutrition standards easily into other public institutions, but the private sector has proven to be quite difficult. But I think local jurisdictions are doing creative policy work. For example, in the San Jose area, California, they put you can't have sweetened beverages and some other items with the kids' meal if you're selling a toy with it. So that's an example of how a local jurisdiction can actually place restrictions on what is served in fast food and other restaurant establishments. The sky's the limit on our creative ideas, but don't think that we can't change access to these. We can, and when coupled with powerful education strategies and social marketing, we can make a big difference in sweetened beverage intake. So hopefully we can change our environments from this to this, and from all the sweetened beverages to water, and then maybe we can actually reverse this trend that we've been seeing. Thank you very much, and I'd like to thank our funders, in particular the California Endowment and the California Center for Public Health Advocacy, and my other researchers at the Center for Weight and Health. Thank you very much.